Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend, an opportunity to partake in the liturgy. I was thinking today, the gospel reading yesterday began with Luke's account of Jesus giving us the Lord's Prayer. I think because it's so common, it's the central prayer of the Christian. We've repeated it so many times, we can lose sight of the elements of the prayer and what a beautiful gift it is that Jesus has given us. You know, the apostles wanted Jesus to teach them how to pray. Jesus prayed regularly, daily. Sometimes he'd pray all night long. And the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, becomes the foundation of our prayer, the Christian prayer, because it orients us to God the Father. And it teaches us to pray for the things that matter most on Jesus' heart. Many times over the years, as I've meditated on the Lord's Prayer, I think about what my own prayer is like, my spontaneous prayer, and how it compares to what Jesus asked us to focus on as we pray to the Father. You know, it's very common and totally normal and expected, and Jesus, I think, welcomes it with a warm heart. We're often thinking about, we offer prayers to Jesus about our daily concerns, which he wants us to offer because he wants us to walk with him. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be our counselor, to give us comfort, to give us assurance and confidence. But at the same time, he's teaching us what matters in prayer through communicating to us the fundamental principles in the Our Father. It's a way to orient our entire life. I might be more preoccupied with my concerns about my kids, my concerns about my finances, struggles with sin in my life, disappointments, whatever it is. Jesus wants to hear all those things. But what he wants to do is to help us step deeper into the Father's will and the things that matter most. And At times I've felt over the years as though the Lord was saying, look, if you pray these prayers, if you pray the Lord's Prayer, all the things you're concerned about will be taken care of. But I want you to have your life oriented directly to the Father and have your mind on the most important things, and that your heart cry would be aligned with my heart, with Jesus' heart, so that the very things that would bring about the greatest transformation in our personal lives but would help us realign and as a body, as a church, would walk as Jesus walked, praying and living the Lord's Prayer is profoundly powerful. I just want to repeat it. So this is Matthew's account. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So the very first line is, Our Father. We've been given the spirit of adoption. We've been, as St. John the Apostle said, we've been given power to become children of God. Jesus became one of us, died on the cross, was raised from the dead, is at the right hand of the Father. He took on human flesh so that the relationship that he has with the Father, he could give to us. We were aliens and strangers. We'll talk about that this week. Some of the other readings that the church is giving us, the reality of what sin has done to us, making us aliens, enemies of God, separated under the power of sin and death, without hope in the world, that sort of thing. But he's taken us and he's brought us into relationship with the Father by uniting himself to us through the Holy Spirit. And in baptism, we become sons and daughters of God. So we become children of God. So we're given a family relationship with the Father. And so we have access to the Father like a child does to a loving father, to a father who's wide open to the child, to a mature father, and even more. Jesus brings us into the realization of the profound way in which God the Father loves us. You are loved 24/7, 365. God is love, and you were made to live in that love, not with shame, not with fear, not with embarrassment, but with freedom. And that freedom happens here and now in the new life in the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus is bringing us into. So you can come into the Father's presence, even if you've fallen. We have a right, as Jesus said, you know, 70 times, 7 times a day, we can go back to the Father. He understands our weakness. He knows our frame. He's not frustrated, stomping around, disappointed in us. He wants you to turn to him with humility in your heart and gratitude and to stand before him as a child of God. So we pray to our Father. So first thing Jesus does is he orients us to the Father. He orients our entire prayer life through him in the power of the Holy Spirit to the Father. Secondly, he says the first prayer is, hallowed be thy name. So our first concern, and Jesus wants to teach us the importance of this priority in prayer, is to have our heart aligned and to give to the Father what belongs to the Father. Honor, respect, love, just giving to God what belongs to God. God is holy. God is awesome. God is faithful. God is good. God is great. And the devil wants to obscure that reality. But Jesus says to properly enter into prayer, which is communication with God, which is a conversation with God, which is gazing on God, is we have to remember who God is. And our posture toward him is to hallow, is to honor, is to lift high his name, and to really know who God is, the Holy One. Hallowed be thy name. So that's the first step, is seeing ourselves as children of God and properly posturing ourselves toward him. And understanding he welcomes us, he loves us, and to gaze on his holiness and to pray that we would have an attitude that would want to honor the name of God. You know, as the commandment tells us, you know, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Don't do anything that would dishonor God. But to have a heart, have a life, have a marriage, have a home, have a family, have a business, have a whole way of life that is committed to, that prays every day, Father, how can I hallow your name? How can I honor you in the way I live? And lift high your name. So hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. It's welcoming his plan. Ultimately, I believe, you know, thy kingdom come, it's the welcoming the rule of God, the authority of God, the economy of God, and God's entire plan for my personal life, and pray that that rule, the rule of the kingdom that's in heaven, that Jesus himself brought to earth for us and for our sake. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, because the king has come to establish the rule of the Father in a fallen world where human hearts are fallen and they're rebellious and they're set against and they're seduced into standing against the Father and the Father's reign and the Father's order. So this becomes a profoundly important prayer. So we pray it, Father, thy kingdom come. So let your rule, the rule of God, under the lordship of his King, the Son, Jesus Christ, first take place in my life. Bring my mind, my heart, my will, my passions, my imagination, everything. Father, help me bring the whole enterprise you've given me with the freedom you've given me and the domains of responsibility I have. Father, help me bring them under your reign. And whatever I touch, whatever I live, may I learn to walk in the order of the kingdom of God. Friends, that's what Jesus wants to stir in our heart. We pray and we ask the Father, so thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Okay, what's the will of God? The Catechism talks about this aspect of the Lord's Prayer as Jesus' desire, the Father's desire, to bring salvation to the whole world. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Here's where we need to go deeper in our prayer to see this, that thy kingdom come and thy will be done, the will of God, was expressed perfectly in the life of Jesus, who laid down his life for us, shed his blood, so that we could literally be reunited to the Father. And the whole heart of the church's mission, which is our mission because we're the church, is to bring people from death to life, to repentance, to the waters of baptism, to the family of God. So we're praying there that that would become a reality in our heart, that we would have a passion and Father would lead us and be ready to engage in helping people come to salvation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want the rule of God, we want the plan of God on earth in our lives. And it starts with each one of us individually. Give us this day our daily bread. So we trust the Lord. Like the Beatitudes, we'll talk about next week a bit, I think, The Beatitudes orient us in this way. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of God is theirs, that we look to God for everything. It talks about hungering and thirsting for God. We can trust that the Lord will provide for us our needs. Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, and everything will be added unto you. Everything we need, not necessarily everything we want or dream of, but everything we need, he will provide. He'll give us the manna, the food that we need, literally the physical food, but as well as giving us the spiritual food we need to be transformed. And then it says, forgive us our trespasses is the next one, right? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You've probably heard it many times in many homilies over your life. That's a really radical dimension of the Lord's Prayer, because we're saying, Father, forgive me as I forgive others. Forgiveness is such a profoundly important part of the Christian life. You've received mercy, extend mercy, Jesus said. You've been forgiven much. He who has forgiven much loves much. He who has been forgiven much has been given great mercy. And Jesus expects us to extend that to others. But if we're not going to extend that mercy, if we're not going to be quick to forgive out of compassion, understanding the weakness of those that may have harmed us, seeking to restore the relationship, as Jesus himself came with all his heart to forgive us, he's from the cross, he's saying, Father, forgive them. Forgive Peter Herbeck. He doesn't know what he's doing. So it's very important for us to see that. Father, forgive us as we forgive others. It's a prayer that really needs to be internalized, friends. And we see so many people around the world as we minister, the number one block to people growing in the Lord, to coming into the blessings of the kingdom of God, is unforgiveness. It's so many baptized people don't forgive those who have sinned against them. They're not quick to forgive. And we hold on to unforgiveness, and it becomes a place where we give the devil permission to grab hold of us. Jesus said, the devil has no hold on me. When we refuse to forgive, the devil can grab a hold of us, and then he can beat us. He can, you know, enslave us and lead us to discouragement and harden our hearts and fill us with bitterness. So friends, let's be quick to forgive, knowing that we have been forgiven much. So our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And don't let us be led into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Let's pray. We're praying, Lord, help us so that I don't fall to the seductions and temptations of the devil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the work of the evil one. In Christ, the devil has no hold on us. The way the devil can get hold on us is if we say yes to sin and yes to his temptations. But it's important for us to know if we repent, if we go to confession, if we receive forgiveness for those sins, and we command the devil to leave us alone and don't give him permission to squat on our land. Don't give him access to your life. Don't let him try to grab hold of your freedom and your will. You have authority now. Take authority in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and command the devil to be gone. Say, I want no more partnership in this area of sin. I've confessed my sin. I've received sacramental grace. I want to be free. I want to stand in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And devil, I command you in Jesus' name to be gone. That's the kind of heart that Jesus wants us to have toward the Father in prayer, and we can learn how to walk and follow Jesus and what's important by just living out the Lord's Prayer. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.